Walter Schaub's abrupt departure as director of the Office of Government Ethics leaves a vacancy atop a small office. And it raises the question of just who will or would take the reins of this behind-the-scenes agency now in the spotlight. You might say Schaub had a somewhat combative relationship with the Trump administration. Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers has been following the Schaub departure, and she joins me now. So what is going on now? Just kind of limbo at the Office of Government Ethics, Meredith?
A little bit, yes. The leader is, well, he will be gone by the end of this month, but the agency will continue, like all agencies do, with some of the career professionals. Walt Schaub, the office's director, announced his resignation on July 6th. He tweeted it, actually, which is appropriate given how much his use of social media has brought his agency into the spotlight. So Schaub oversees the Office of Government Ethics, which handles roughly 2.7 million employee ethical conduct standards, the oversight of more than 26,000 public and 300...
Wait, they don't have 2.7 million ethical standards. They have standards for 2.7 million employees.
Yes, good correction. And they also provide oversight of more than 26,000 public and 380,000 confidential financial disclosure reports. And I use all those numbers to say that's because the office has less than 80 people who work there, and their work is pretty specialized. And so this departure is significant not only for that reason, it's also because this agency has made headlines thanks to Schaub's interaction with the new administration. After the November election, when Schaub issued a series of tweets and made a couple public comments on potential conflicts of interest related to President Donald Trump, things got a little heated.
Well, I wonder if Schaub, and we've had Schaub on this show, and he seems like a reasonable guy, but I wonder if he was getting a little fussy here with respect to Donald Trump, because frankly, the ethical rules for presidents are really different than they are for everybody else in the federal bureaucracy. Not to say Trump is ethical or unethical. We have no idea. But I wonder if the standards are maybe something that he should have shown a little more flexibility about. I don't know, just a thought.
No, it's an interesting thought. And the people that I talked to for this story, some said, well, we think it was a really great idea. And others said, well, maybe it was a bit of a misstep. And that's the whole thing. The only thing everybody can agree on is that this was pretty unprecedented. Here's Max Steyer. He's the president and CEO of the Partnership for Public Service.
I think the administration has already learned a lot, sometimes learned it probably the hard way. I would expect that the responsibility of the next OGE director will be quite a bit different than Walt. I think the bigger challenge for them is going to be in continuing to process what is a very large workload with a very small team.
Steyer said engaging with media wasn't Schaub's preference, nor will it likely be his successor's, but much of that will depend on whether the administration has learned how to interact with the office and manage their own process of ensuring their nominees are entering what he called sensible ethics agreements.
Well, I guess that's kind of obvious. Yeah, there's a big workload ahead, and
yes,
they do only have 80 employees. And I think...
Well, part of the issue is also that the Trump administration is still filling roles. It's still making nominations, and those people still need to be Senate confirmed. And then you have the whole, okay, well, you got to go through your ethics training, and let's make sure everything is okay. And so this is the first year of the administration. And Steyer was saying it can be kind of a little bit crazy anyway, and especially now that we have the leader of the agency that kind of is a major part of this gone, it kind of leaves everybody wondering, okay, what's next?
What other reactions are you hearing around town?
I also spoke with Kathleen Clark. She's an expert on legal ethics and whistleblowing, and she hoped the people leading the office in the interim would, in her words, be as courageous as Walt Schaub has been able to be. If you remember back in February, Professor Clark was saying Schaub had urged the White House to investigate its presidential counselor, Kellyanne Conway, for potentially violating an ethics law when she made comments about the first daughter's clothing line when she was being interviewed.
The OGE is generally not a place where investigations happen for the most part. It's not it is not primarily an enforcement agency. It's instead an agency that focuses on preventing problems and helping government officials comply with the government ethics standards, and it writes the ethics regulations for the executive branch.
Max Steyer from the Partnership for Public Service had similar sentiments when it came to OGE preventing problems. The conflicts that exist between the Trump administration and OGE is not good for either party because OGE is, again, a vital piece of the larger puzzle for the administration, bringing in the people that it wants to help lead the agencies. And also, OGE is not an enforcement agency. It's supposed to just be an assurance to help federal employees come in and abide by ethics rules.
The important piece here is that the institution of the Office of Government of Ethics continues forward. And while Walt Schaub's departure is a loss for that office, the work of the people there continues forward. And so my expectation is that you're not going to actually see much of a change. The lawyers and the personnel at the OGE are there actually to help the new political team avoid potential problems. They're not an enforcement organization. They're there to assist the people to make sure that they don't get themselves into trouble.
So we'll have to wait and see whether the president appoints someone soon, or sooner rather than later, and who will, whether it will be a career employee, kind of like Walt Schaub was, or someone totally different.
By the way, we're speaking with Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers. And do you get the sense that there will be people that want to serve here?
That's actually a good question. It's certainly an interesting time to be doing it, to serve in this role. Everybody's watching right now. I know I follow OGE's Twitter feed, and everybody's curious about what's going on with the new administration. They also have a whole new influx of FOIA requests now, Freedom of Information requests, because this agency has made headlines for so long. So whoever does want to serve, if that's who we're looking at, they better be okay with a little bit of attention.
I think everybody would be better served if they shut down the stupid Twitter accounts.
Yeah, that's, well, except for us. Sometimes I get my news from there.
That's got to be the worst communication medium, though, in so many ways, because of all the junk that flows in. It's like the Anacostia River. Somewhere in there, there's clean water, but you've got all the bottles and junk and burst basketballs and tires floating down in there with it.
I know that river well because I row on it. But you're right. You have to you really need to know what you're looking for when it comes to Twitter. And so OG, and that's part of the debate, is whether Walt Schaub's tweets were just kind of adding to that noise, or were they actually helping a mission?
And while we have you, Meredith, I wanted to ask you what you're hearing about the FBI shuttering that whole process for moving its headquarters. Later this hour, we speak with Chris Liu, the former Deputy Secretary of Labor. And Labor went through the same problem. They tried to swap a building and move out. The Trump administration came in and put an end to that process. Is it looking like the FBI is just there for good?
It looks like it right now, at least in the short term, and maybe even the medium to longish term. GSA, in its official statement today, said they would continue to work with the FBI on finding space for its headquarters. But right now, there's just not enough funding. Even with the money that Congress is giving GSA for this, there's still an $800 million gap. So we're looking at almost $1 billion that they need to make up, and they just don't have it.
Is this a partisan thing? That is to say, is it Republicans in Congress that are against the whole idea, or is it something else?
Well, everybody thinks it's a good idea to fix this building and upkeep it just physically, because it's almost a half century old. And for employees, they would like them. They think economically, regionally, it'll be a good fit. But whether the priority is construction over something, somebody else's priority, that is a little bit debated. There's also concerns. Well, is there some kind of conflict of interest? There's a lot of voices. But all we know for sure is that this project is not happening anytime soon.
Because if someone, I guess, there were several offerers that might have wanted to take over that building, but we don't know whether they wanted to rehab it or tear it down.
It's prime real estate. I mean, it's on Pennsylvania Avenue. You look to your, what is it, northwest, you see the White House, you look southeast, and you see the Capitol. And
although the plaza in front of the FBI building itself is always deserted, it's always windy.
A little bit to be desired,
it's
yes.
It's a little bit like Pyongyang in that particular block of Pennsylvania Avenue.
It is. They say it's like one of the ugliest federal buildings. And so there's, for the city,
and
it would be.
And that's saying something.
The city would benefit from, hopefully, at least a good power washing. And then the FBI headquarters could be somewhere else. And the employees possibly would have a shorter commute, because you get a lot coming in from Virginia and Maryland. What I think is interesting is I was talking to Jerry Connolly, who is a representative here for Northern Virginia, and he said the fact that GSA is now canceling this, it might give other industry members, private sector guys, a bad taste in their mouth for bidding on something. I mean, this took a long time. This has been going on since before I started here at Federal News Radio. And the regions put in millions of dollars. Everybody put in a lot of time and effort. And now all of a sudden, it's just gone. And so you have to wonder, will this, again, leave a bad taste in the mouth for some people and working with GSA?
Well, Jerry Connolly is somewhat right, as is Chris Van Hollen and the former Senator Barbara Mikulski. They all wanted it, of course, in Maryland, in Prince George's County.
Yeah, they call him Team Maryland.
Yeah, but the problem is the the injection of politics into the site selection by the members of Congress itself slows down the process and makes it more expensive.
Right. Everybody was kind of gunning for putting the building in their own jurisdiction, and now everybody lost, and here we are.
Yeah, so there's not really an objective way of doing any of this in today's, I guess, political environment. Well, maybe they could move to South Dakota. They need the...
That would be one heck of a commute for the people who live and work in Maryland and Virginia.
Talk about a slug line. Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers, thanks so much.
Thanks, Tom.